morning to all of you. So good to see you. So good to have Mariana with us once again. It's been a while since we've seen her, and we know she's been with us in the past with some health problems, but she's looking good. I hope the inside looks as good as the outside. And we're glad to have her son Ezekiel with us, visiting us also from Mexico. So good to have Ezekiel with us. We're having a nice little problem existing where we're going to have to open a couple more pews up. Everyone's kind of doing their best to spread out, but we're running out of pews. So that's a good thing that maybe the men will have to discuss. I know we have on this side a couple where we have two separated. We might have to open some of those up, but I'm glad to see that. This morning, I want to begin reading to you or reciting to you a little bit of a story. It's a story of a newly married couple. Their names are Ed and Jennifer. And so the story takes place on their honeymoon. The first time Jennifer was dishonest with Ed about her feelings was during their honeymoon. They were having dinner together in a restaurant that was on the beach. The evening was beautiful, and from where they were seated, they could watch the waves crashing onto the sand. All of a sudden, Ed's cell phone rang, and the mood suddenly changed. Ed had given his number to some of his best customers, and one of them needed help with a problem. Well, Ed excused himself to talk to his customer, leaving Jennifer to enjoy the scenery and her dinner all alone. Half an hour later, Ed returned with apologies for the interruption. Though Jennifer was deeply offended by the way Ed had treated her, she did not tell him how bad she felt. Instead, she told him how much she was enjoying the scenery. That call at dinner was not the only one that interrupted their honeymoon. Ed received several calls, even one while he and Jennifer were about to make love. Jennifer was hurt that Ed was trying to conduct business during their honeymoon. But she never let him know. She wanted him to be successful in his business and felt that she had to learn to adjust. While they had been dating, Jennifer found it easy to be honest with Ed about her feelings. He was a great guy, always trying to make her happy, so her accolades far outweighed her complaints. On a few occasions when he did something that upset her, she mentioned it briefly and he quickly made accommodations. But after they were married, she didn't feel that it was appropriate for her to let him know when she was offended, because it was almost always job related. For example, he left her home alone 3 nights each week, which bothered her. But she let him think she was happy with the arrangement. She knew how important his demanding job was for both of them. Well, what happened was, as she continued not to tell her husband her feelings and what bothered her, she began to fall out of love with her husband. She began to be upset that he didn't change his behavior, even though she wouldn't tell him or be honest with him. And that kind of introduces us to our lesson this morning. We want to talk about how to improve our relationships, how to make our relationships stronger and make them lasting, make them more godly. And a lot of what we're going to talk about is geared in terms of a husband and wife and the marriage relationship. But make no mistake about it. Any relationship you're in, these principles will work. They'll work with a parent-child relationship. They'll work with your friends. They'll work with co-workers to one degree or another. And so what we're going to talk about is those things that are love builders. And there needs to be love in our relationships. That's what makes them strong. That's what makes them enjoyable. That's what makes them lasting. But sometimes as we talk about love builders, we also have to talk about love busters. Those things that destroy love in a relationship and therefore destroy relationships. So as we go through here, we all need to ask ourselves in our relationships, are we builders or busters? And the one love builder we're going to talk about this morning is honesty. Honesty is a must in all of our relationships. We often talk about honesty is the best policy, but we know the rest of that, don't we? It's not just the best policy, it's the only policy. And our golden passage for this morning's lessons comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 25, where Paul writes to these Christians, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." God wants us to be love builders, and a big part of that is being honest. And so he says, what? You lay aside falsehood. But it's not just laying aside falsehood, it's what? You speak truth to each one. Speak truth to your neighbor. Speak truth especially to those you are in a relationship with. And so we're going to talk about this passage and what it really means for us. The role of honesty in our relationships. As you go back to that passage real quick, you'll notice as he says, lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you. Well, that seems to be a partial quote from this passage in the Old Testament from the minor prophet Zechariah, Zechariah 8:16, where God through Zechariah tells his people, these are the things which you should do. Obviously, they were not doing them. They were doing the opposite. And so he says, these are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. When there has to be judgment, judge with truth. And judgment for peace in your gates. You can see twice he has the idea of truth. Both judging and speaking in truth. And so in helping us to put this into our minds and in helping us to apply this, I want to reintroduce you, remind you of an analogy we used in a lesson a while ago called the love bank. And sometimes in any relationship you're in, sometimes you get into a comfort zone. Sometimes you get into kind of a habit. Sometimes you get into some very bad habits. And what helps us is we know the truth, but sometimes if you can put it in a way that helps us to think about it and to apply it, it's a tremendous benefit. And I find this to be one of the great analogies that help in any relationship, especially as it's geared for, in this context, the marriage relationships. The love bank is a concept developed by author Willard F. Harley Jr. And he developed it first in his book, as far as I know, His Needs, Her Needs. And I would recommend that book to all of you if you haven't read it. And then he further develops it in kind of where we're going with this is the idea of love busters. But we want to talk about love builders as well. Love busters. And so the love bank, as you probably have already figured out, is the concept of instead of money, we're talking about love. Instead of a bank account, we're talking about a relationship. So we all know how bank accounts work, right? In order to spend money, you have to have money. In order to use that debit card, used to be in order to write that check, but now it's a debit card, right? you have to have money in the bank. And so we all know how that works. You can't spend more money than what you deposit. And as you spend money, you have to what? Deposit money. And you know that that great balance is what? You got to deposit more than you spend. If you spend more than you deposit, you're in big trouble. And eventually, if you do that, if you keep spending money and you don't put money in, what happens? Well, you get to a zero balance. And here's the incredible thing. The bank will allow you to keep spending money that you don't have. But what they're going to do is they're going to charge you more for those things you just bought, because they're going to charge you a fee and they're going to charge you interest. And you're going to end up paying more than what you originally spent. Well, you know what? In relationships, the same thing happens. We get down to a zero balance because what? We've been withdrawing love and we haven't been depositing love. And sometimes in our relationships, that other person will allow us to spend love that's not there. And to get that bank account, that love account back into a positive, you're going to have to pay with fees and interest. If you get what I mean. And so, it gives us this mental idea that as we're in a relationship, what do we need to be doing? Well, we need to understand what are these withdrawals of love? What are these love busters? And so they're anything from anger, angry outbursts, disrespect, being judgmental, annoying behavior, selfish demands. We're going to talk about that one specifically in another lesson. And there it is, dishonesty. How many of us have been in a relationship and have discovered that this person we're in a relationship has been dishonest with us? That dishonesty, does that make you feel closer to them? Does that make you feel more in love with them? Of course not. It's a love buster. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to minimize the behavior that brings love and withdraws it. We try to minimize that love busting. The thing about it is, we're not perfect. In any relationship, we're going to have these. But the idea is to work on it, to be mentally aware. I need to work on this. Who wants to be in a relationship where it's just a constant angry outburst, disrespect, judgmental behavior, all of this dishonesty? Those relationships aren't going to last. Because they're not going to be enjoyable. And they're not going to be godly. And here's the thing. People can actually get into a habit where it just becomes part of their behavior to make these withdrawals. And if that's the habit of making these withdrawals, guess what is not a habit for them? What is not part of their life is making these deposits. And so in marriage or any relationship, the marriage thrives, or the relationship thrives, as you what? You're making those deposits. And there's some relationships where this comes pretty easy. There's some friends you have where it's just always a good time because you're always making deposits. That's what your time together is all about, and that's wonderful. But deposits, and again, this is more designed in the marriage context. You can figure out that from the other relationship. Affection. Giving yourself one another in that physical relationship, conversation, there it is, honesty, openness, attractiveness, domestic support. And in other relationships, you can put, you know, the other positives in there as well. And as you do that, you're depositing that love, you're building up love in that love bank. But if you don't do that, then what happens? You actually can fall in love or out of love with someone. You can fall out of respect and enjoyment in that relationship to where it won't last. So I want to just let that sink in a little bit. And I want you to just lay that on your heart and to look at the relationships that you have. Have you been a builder? Or a buster? And the thing is, this gives you a something to latch on to and to work on if you've been a buster. And if you're not a buster and you're a builder, great. And this maybe will energize you to do it even more and continue to work on that. Hopefully that person that you're in a relationship with is doing the same thing. It doesn't work real well if it's only one way. The love bank. Honesty is not only the best policy, it's the only policy. Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. We've laid aside that. That's the way we used to be. That's the world's way. That's Satan's way. The father lies. But that's not who we are in Christ. So he says, don't be a love buster. Don't lie to one another. Lay that aside for good. So as we talk about being a love builder and being honest, let's talk a little bit about why people do lie. You know, we live in a world where lying is seen sometimes as bad. There's just some lies that people won't stand for. It's sinful, it's evil. But there are some lies that people look at and they say, well, that's actually a good lie. That's a victimless crime. That's full of compassion. Those lies are okay. Little white lies that as people see it, create good. Why is it that our world looks at lying and sometimes it's bad and sinful and sometimes it's good and righteous? Well, the reason is because, I don't know if you reckon it, people lie for different reasons, different purposes, different things they're trying to accomplish. And some of these are seen as being justifiable and being good. One of the reasons people lie is what we might call the protector lie. The protector liar. And I think you can figure that out. This is often thought as the lie that's compassionate. Because what? The liar is trying to keep their loved one from some unpleasant information or some type of unpleasantry. And so we lie to protect them. Or a lot of times this comes out, and this isn't seen as compassionate, but we lie to protect ourselves. We don't want to face the music. We don't want to get caught. We don't want something to happen. I want you to think about these in the Bible. Can you think of someone that lied to protect themselves? The one I think of most often, and if you think of someone else, I'd love to hear it from you afterwards. Share it with me. But I think about Abraham and how he lied to Pharaoh that Sarah was only his sister. He repeated that lie to King Abimelech later on, and then we know Isaac did the same thing. Well, in the case of Abimelech, God stepped in before Abimelech could touch a finger on Sarah. But when it comes to the lie to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh takes Sarah into his household, there is a great debate about if God was able or God stopped it before it got to that point. There are many Christians, preachers, commentators that believe adultery was committed. I don't know if I have a concrete answer in that, but either way, you can see as Abraham lied about Sarah to protect himself, he in essence put Sarah in a very vulnerable, dangerous situation. Not only the possibility, and perhaps as some see it, the committing of adultery with Pharaoh, but the after effects of that, the spiritual effects, the mental effects, the physical, how that affects somebody. that's put in a situation like that. I think we can see that a lot of people see the protector lie as something positive, compassionate, but ultimately, if you look at its end result, it is something that sometimes is selfish, sometimes that is very destructive. There's another problem with it, and that is the liar often becomes upset when the behavior is not changed. Let's go back to Jennifer and Ed. Jennifer got very upset at Ed because he just kept interrupting their marriage for work. She got mad. He wouldn't stop it. She started having these feelings that were unloving. But she was mad at Ed, not herself. But she wouldn't be honest with him. It wasn't that she was necessarily lying or telling him lies, but she wasn't being honest with him. And so, why was she getting mad at Ed when she's not getting mad at herself? And yeah, brothers and sisters in Christ, it happens all the time, doesn't it? Another problem with the protector lie is it leads eventually to huge withdrawals from the love bank. We're not talking about withdrawing $20 at a time. We're talking about hundreds and thousands of dollars out of that love bank to paint that picture. I want to ask you, what would be your reaction if the bank where you have your money just stopped giving you monthly statements, right? That's what banks do, right? They tell you, okay, you deposited this on this date and this on this day, and you wrote this check or you had this debit, and at the end, here's your total. What if they just stopped doing that and one day they send you this letter, this notice, you're withdrawn? What would be your reaction? I know my reaction would be, well, why didn't you tell me that before? Where's these statements? Why aren't you being honest? Why aren't you keeping, you know, what's going on in my account? That's what we expect. And banks know that they need to be honest with their customers. That's why they send them these statements. And what do? You take that statement and you have to then balance your account. You want the honesty. You want to know the facts. And then you might say something like this, man, we spent a lot of money last month. We're going to have to cut back. Or we're going to have to put more money in. We're going to make more deposits. Well, we do the same thing with the love bank. But we only can do that if we're honest with one another. You see, relationships thrive on honesty. And the reality is, if you can't be honest to your spouse, your family, your friends, your relationship's not going to last. And anyone who has had a lasting successful marriage or a lasting successful friendship knows you have to be able, even as if it's difficult for you, you have to be able to open up and just pour out honesty. What you're feeling, what you're going through. And if you're not able to be honest with that other person, and they're not able to be honest with you, it's not going to last. It's not going to thrive. And I know us men, you know, we kind of like the surface type of relationships. We don't talk about our feelings and all that, but I'll tell you what, when your friend is going through it, men can open up in wonderful ways and be understanding and supportive. We like to think we're hard shell, but we have to break open that hard shell sometimes. Honesty is not only the best policy, it's the only policy. Titus 1:1-12, talking about what Jesus has done for us. Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. You can see what I've highlighted there. Number one, Jesus Christ has given us knowledge. But what kind of knowledge? Knowledge of the truth. That knowledge is according to godliness, and that's what I'm trying to get across. This honesty that we share with one another, it is all about godliness. God is honest. Let me put it this way. You all here have made dramatic, radical changes in your life because of Jesus Christ. I think we can be honest, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and your desire for all that God promises and what God has done for us and what God will do for us, we would be very different people. But you've made those radical changes. You become something maybe you never thought you would become because of what? Because of what God, at least part, what God has promised for us in the future. But what would it be our reaction if all of this was just one big joke to God? At the end, all these promises were just a big hoax. How is it that we have made such radical changes? Well, it's all based on what He just put out here in this passage. Because we know that God is 100% honest. It's no hoax. It's no joke. He keeps every word. He fulfills every promise. And so we have absolutely no problem, no doubt in making those difficult life decisions for godliness. We are to be holy for He is holy. We are to be honest because He is 100% honest. So here's another reason why people lie, and that is what we call the trying to look good liar. You know what that's all about, right? The trying to look good liar. You see, we all know that we have this desire, this need to be admired. It feels great when people admire us and appreciate us and we gain their approval. When they kind of are in awe that we've done something or who we are. Can I be honest? Part, you know, this isn't why I've done this, but part of being a volunteer firefighter is it feels so good when people are like, thank you so much for what you've done. When there's that appreciation, when there's these kids who are like, oh, I want to be a firefighter, can I look at the fire truck? And they're just, you can just see it in their eyes, this admiration, that, and they put you on this, it feels good. But that need is so strong sometimes it can lead us to lie to others and in essence to lie to ourselves. I want you to think about in the Bible, the try to look good liars. I come up with Ananias and Sapphira. Remember in Acts 5? All these Christians are selling property and bringing all the proceeds and laying at the apostles' feet to help those Christians in need. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they've got some property and they sell it and they hold back part of it and then they give the rest of it. And the sin of Ananias and Sapphira wasn't that they held it back. Peter says it was in your charge, it was in your control, you could have done that. The problem is they wanted to look good. They want to look like everyone else. We're giving it all. And I don't even know why they'd have to make that. Here's the money. But they wanted to look good. Go back to Jennifer and Ed. In a way, we could look at Jennifer protecting her husband by not being honest with him. But another way, she's trying to make herself look better, look good. What? Being the supportive wife. Not being the nagging, complaining, upset wife. I'm going to be the supportive wife. But it didn't last. It didn't work. Sometimes these lies start off with embellishments. You know, it's like when Robert goes fishing. Robert, how big really was that fish, right? You know, just gets big. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what we say all the time, right? How big was it? Well, it was actually this big. No, it was this big. But those embellishments, and here's where this problem really gets serious, is where the embellishments turn into the whole story's made up. And people can get so involved in this that they actually start not knowing what part is made up and what part is real. It can become an addiction to people. And a part of the story I didn't tell you about Ed and Jennifer is that Ed had been lying, actually lying, not just not sharing, but lying to Jennifer, because Jennifer was just this incredible, motivated woman, a high achiever, well, you might say an overachiever, and Ed was not that, especially when it came to school, when it came to sales. And so what Ed did, trying to make himself look very good in the eyes of Jennifer, is he lied to her about his grades at school and all the honors he received at school. And then when he got a sales job, he started lying to her about all the sales and that he got a promotion and all of that. And what happens? Well, as it always happens, Jennifer starts seeing the lies are that, they're lies. And she starts becoming suspicious. And she calls his boss one day to kind of investigate this. And she has found that Ed has actually been fired from his job. And yet each morning he gets up and goes to work. Well, what's Ed doing? Well, Ed is going not to work. He's going to try to find a new job, hoping that he can find a new job very quickly so that he can lie to Jennifer and spin this in such a way that he actually quit his old job and this job is better. As if maybe this company was seeking him out. So Ed and Jennifer, because of this love buster of dishonesty, hit rock bottom in their marriage, in their relationship. And yet there was something in them that wanted to try to work this out. And so they found a counselor, a professional. And one of the very first things this professional did was tell them, you got to be a love builder. You got to have 100% honesty in your relationship. And he sat there and talked as they poured out their feelings, admitted to their dishonesty. It is not easy to destroy a mountain of lies, but it's possible as you chip away a little at a time. And what happens, that honesty will overcome the dishonesty, and you're going to build that love and that enjoyment and that respect back into your relationships. I'm going to put our marker right here. We're going to come back in another time and we're going to talk a little bit more about building up love through honesty. And we're going to talk about some other love builders as well. But as we close, I want to tell you, as we talked about briefly, when it comes to God, it's all honesty. He has laid it out to us what's going to happen in the future. He's laid out judgment. And He's laid out His plan of salvation, said ultimately, as we are honest with Him and we are trusting in Him, that we know we don't have to fear what's to come, but we can look forward to it with great expectation. And I just want to make this one last point. Not to hit too hard, but when we have served God with all of our might, not being perfect, but fighting sin, letting sin get us, throw us to the ground, and we pick ourselves up and we fight again, and we have spent our life trying to serve God and to know His truth, and as we get older and we start talking about, I sure hope I make it, and I sure hope that there's a place in heaven, and I don't want to hit too hard on this, because I understand the physical element of that. I understand that thought of God being so great and what He's prepared for us so great and us being so small. But I want to tell you, there could be a sign of a lacking in God's honesty, a lacking trust and faith in that. And I don't want you to have that. God doesn't want you to have that. There is such thing as a blessed assurance. And a big part of that blessed assurance is God's honesty. And I want you to know, if you're not a Christian and You become one. You baptize into Christ for the remission of your sins. You're making the best choice of your life. Because it's all based on God's honesty. And you should have no doubt that that would be the best choice of your life. We're gonna turn over to our song service, and I want you to let these songs be a song of encouragement to you. And if there's anything that we can help you to get your life in Christ in pure honesty, why don't you let us know at the end of service, and we want to do that for you. We'll turn it over to Andrew.